didn't come to the tent meeting, they start prophesying too. And some others come in and they say, hey, Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying and they're not with us, so go stop them. That happens because people get jealous. And they want to say, no, you got to conform. You got to be exactly, you got to make it happen just like us. Does all prophecy happen in the same way? No, it doesn't. And so here's Joshua. He's jealous of it. And he says, go stop him. But the Spirit of the Lord says what? I wish that everybody prophesied. I wish that everybody prophesied. And in this case, these people prophesied. They did. But it also says they never did it again. Why? Why did they never do it again? Because in those days, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't come and stay on people. It would come. If the Holy Spirit had a message through Kelsey, the Spirit would land on Kelsey. The things would take place. And then Kelsey, the Spirit would leave. And so that's why the 70 never spoke again. They didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But didn't mean that the Holy Spirit wouldn't work through people, because it would go through all of Scripture, and it does. So three things basically happened. It tells us that all people can prophesy. All people can prophesy. Any one of you sitting here right now, if the Lord has a reason for you to prophesy, can. Some people will say, no, prophecy doesn't happen anymore. It does. Not as frequently as it used to, but that's our fault. Okay? So that it was back then. And the Holy Spirit didn't stay. It just rested. Acts 2:16 and 18 says, no, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, these are them, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. That would be me. Okay? Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Even on my servants, both men and women. The evangelist Philip had four unmarried daughters, and they prophesied. So it's not limited to gender. Anybody can do it. I know a lot of very spiritual pastors that prophesy. I've had some of them praying over me. Okay, so it happens. But we get into, I was raised in a church where only certain select people prophesied or did that. And that's not the way it is. In Acts 2:16 and 17, it says, how did I get to 1 Corinthians already? Anyway, just fast reading. Pardon? I was going to go Acts 2:16, 18, yeah. There you go. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Okay, I'm still there. Sorry. I got ahead of myself. In those days, both your servants, men and women, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Yep, I did go past that. Okay? That's what happens when you get old, too. You get lost when you wonder. You know? That they were worried about that at the camp yesterday. Will he get lost? No. Anyway, but it says both men and women. Now, the other thing, part of that is, how many of you in here are men? How many of you are women? That doesn't leave anybody out, does it? Because all of us are in one form, male or female. So what does it mean to say to prophesy? To prophesy means that someone gets a message from God for someone else. Someone gets a message from God for someone else. I had that happen to me back in 1992. We were at a conference, and they were having a service, and people were being prayed over, and the Holy Spirit was giving them messages and laying them out in the Spirit. And I had never experienced anything like that before, but the Spirit was there heavy. And we were getting in the waiting in line, and I was watching people, and people were being prayed over, and people were falling in and out in the Spirit. Coming from a Mormon background, it was like, okay, this is too weird. And we were singing, and we put our hands up, and you felt like your hands went into something that was just amazing, and you wanted to pull it out, but you didn't really want to, because it was cool. And so I was watching, and people are falling out in the Spirit, and I'm this one lady in particular, everybody's, you know, I thought, oh, please, Lord, not Jerianne. Not Jerianne. And I'm watching, and there's an old guy over here, not over here, okay? And I thought, okay, and I'm watching, and nobody's falling in front of him. So I get up there, and I hurry over to him, and he prays over, and he gave me a message that I needed to hear about getting into ministry. And, so I got through with the message, and I went, okay. And so I went over, and my friend Terry from San Diego, Sacramento, where I had to travel back and forth to do part of my training, she says, grab me, and she says, I feel like God's got something he wants to tell you. So she prayed over me, and it was very exact, and it was right. And I thought, whoa, okay. So I went and I did something I needed. It was hot in there, so I went out there to get some fresh air. And I came back in, and I told my friend Kathy, I says, you know, I almost want to go again. She says, people are going all the time. So I went, okay. So I got in line, I got up there, and Jerianne was out. And I thought, okay. And so I get up there, and there was a guy probably in his 28 there, safe looking. And I go up to him, and he puts his hands on me. He's praying over me. How many of you have ever rested in the Spirit where the Lord just lays you on the floor? Yeah, I've seen you do it, Jay. And Vaughn, yeah. And it's just, you know, and I got up there, and all of a sudden it comes to my mind, and it's like, I'm falling, and I can't get up. And it was like one of those, you couldn't control it. This guy followed me to the floor. And we got down there and he says, what are you afraid of? And I said, I don't know. Because I didn't know what it was. I don't know. And that was the beginning of some other time. And I was asked that one other time, what are you afraid of? And it was like, I don't know. And they says, okay, this guy needs a billboard. I got back and it was a billboard, okay? So in Acts, it tells us that it was there. And so it tells us that we can't all prophesy. So what does it mean that somebody has a message for somebody else from God? Now, in that context, you have to believe that if somebody comes up and says to you, Tammy, I've got a message from you from God. You've got to believe that I know what I'm talking about. You know, you got to believe that I know what I'm talking about. And you're going to hear something from God. Now, if somebody comes up and says to Scott and says, I have a message to you. I have a message from D for you. Okay. Well, now Scott would know pretty much if it's for me. But the other part of that is that the question would be, if God had a message for me from Scott, whom I know very well, why would he go to Tammy? Why would he go to Tammy? Because God knows us both well enough to say, hey, look, you know, not going to happen. It's, you know, like, not going to be here. And so we would have to say, you know, did God really speak to Scott, you know? And so you do that. But again, remember, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not remain on the person. In 1 Corinthians 14:31, it says, "For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged." That's the other part of it is. If you're going to be there, you want to question if the Holy Spirit's guiding you and directing you? Ask. Ask. Am I being instructed and am I being encouraged? If you're not being instructed and encouraged by what's said, it's not from the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not from the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 14:31 says, "For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged." I said that. Okay? Who was the first person ever to have the Holy Spirit come on him and remain? Well, John 33. "I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Holy Spirit come down and remain is he who will be baptized by the Holy Spirit.'" The one, this is John the Baptist, "the one you see the Holy Spirit come down and rest on and remain, that's the one." Who was that? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the first person to receive the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit remain on him. Okay? And so he wouldn't have known him. And are there false prophets? Yeah. How do you know? Well, Jeremiah 23, 25 and 26. "I have heard that there are prophets saying, who prophesied lies in my name? They say, 'I had a dream. I had a dream.' How long will this continue in the hearts of those lying prophets who prophesy the declarations of their own minds?" In other words, they say what's on their mind. They're not saying. Again, that's when you test it by saying, "Am I being instructed? Am I being lifted up? Is this beneficial for me?" Okay? And so prophecy is not meant to be manipulative. There are people that do, that happens too. They try and manipulate you by saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And they do it in the name. And technically, if somebody's using the Lord's name like that, that's using the Lord's name in vain. It's not of the Lord. Jeremiah 23, 30 and 31. "Therefore declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, 'The Lord declares.'" Okay? They declare their own stuff. And he says, they're just yapping. But he says they steal from each other too. They steal somebody else's prophecy in that sin. So prophecy is comforting, it's encouraging, and it's strengthening. Okay? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 14:1. "Follow the way of love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy." So we are supposed to earnestly desire to be able to prophesy. Guess what? You are. That's what it's been saying, isn't it? We can prophesy. We can do those things. 1 Corinthians 14:3. "But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort." 1 Corinthians 14, 31-32. "For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirit of prophets are subject to the control of prophets." It's not chaos. It's not going crazy. Okay, first, 2 Peter 1:24. Prophecy was never had its own prophecy. Excuse me, never had its origin in the cell of men, but spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. But just because my dyslexia cuts in, does that mean it won't work? No, because you are the other side. I have a transmission. You have a receiver. Okay? Acts 4:20-36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyrus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Now, you notice something in this? Joseph was his original name. It was his original name. But they changed it to what? Barnabas, son of encouragement, because he was so encouraging. He's the one who went and found Paul when they needed Paul. He was there. If the apostles were to change your name, what would they change it to? Just a thought. I've had experiences happen to me, interesting experiences. And I can tell you, sometimes you don't even remember what you say. I remember one time we were having communion right here, and we were praying over people. And a couple came up that I knew, and they asked for prayer, and we had our prayer session. And I have no clue what I said to them. But for years, every now and again, they would come up and say, "Thank you for that message. Thank you for that message." And it's like, "You're completely welcome." I felt like saying, "Just what exactly did I say?" But I didn't. Because it wasn't for me. It wasn't about me. When I was living over on Kelsey over here, I was remodeling it. I'd ripped out a wall on the outside. And I was going to finish it that weekend because I knew my father was going to die. And I wanted to get part of it done. But the Spirit kept telling me, "Go to California." It's like, "Go to California. Okay. I got to get this done. And Dad's going to die." And, and the Spirit kept saying, "Go to California." It's like, so finally, I undid my tool belt, and I dropped it on the floor, threw my stuff in the car, and I headed out for California. And I thought, well, I'll stop at Yosemite. No. I'm going down to my friend Denise's. No clue why. Got down there, and she gave me a key to her place, but I forgot it in my hurry to pack. So I'm ringing the bell, nothing. I was like, okay. So I walked up the hill I walked down the street to the grocery store, and I got some groceries to make dinner. Come back, not there. So I walked up the hill to Gelato's, got some ice cream, our favorite kinds, came back down, rang the bell. She had just came home from a trip she was on, and she was depressed as anything. So we enjoyed a meal. The next day, we went for a 3-mile walk from her house to the ocean. Talked about stuff. I told her a lot of stuff. Have no idea what I talked about because it wasn't for me. The next day, we took a 9-mile walk across the Golden Gate Bridge. It was a great walk. We took a ferry back. That was me. And we got back, and it was time to go home. So I got ready, went home, got home late on Sunday night. Mom called early Monday morning, said Dad had passed away. Wasn't a surprise. He'd been sick a long time. But the message wasn't for me. Now, does that make me super special? No. I had the right receiver at the right time. And I listened to it after much persuasion. Because I kept saying, no, I got to get this done. No, I got to, no, this is going to, you know. Have you ever said no? I wish you hadn't. Yes. Yep, been there, done that. But scripture, we could go through scripture after scripture after scripture and find out that, you know, it's there. It's in the word. We can all prophesy. But why don't we? Because most of the time it's because we've been convinced we can't. Or we don't tune in. We don't tune in. That's the one part I miss about having finished everything. I came out of IKEA the other day and I started driving home. And all of a sudden I was crying. Just crying. And I thought, God, what am I crying about? I used to have to commute back and forth to different parts of California for my training. Me and my little red truck. And I'd have my cassettes, I'd plug in there and I'd sing and do all, you know, and praise and all that stuff. I don't do that anymore. I'd take rides up to Idaho to see my brother. But I was crying. I thought, Lord, I miss it. I miss you. Make time. Make time. Karina talked about it last week. Vaughn's going to talk about moving, being a friend of God next week. Because we are. We're friends of God. But we all can prophesy if we let ourselves and if we really ask the Lord. Now, I see people here I haven't seen in a while. And I'm thinking probably after service we might want to be doing some praying over Portia, which is a great thing. Yes, God is good. So we'll be doing that. And it's a chance for us to let the Spirit just move in us. But I want you to close your eyes. Think for a minute. What is God? Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this? And you might not hear it today. Might come tomorrow or the next day or from your car. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all your guidance, your direction, for everything, Lord God, that you bring into our lives. And Lord, sometimes we just get out of whack. Help us to stay in tune with you. Because this world's going to try and pull us off course, pull us off out of line. And so, Lord, we don't want that. We want to stay close to you. So we ask for your guidance, your direction. We ask you to lift us up and strengthen us and guide us so we can serve you in many, many ways. And Lord God, when the time is there and it's appropriate, that we will prophesy because you told us we can. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.